This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And welcome in to this afternoon edition of the Lyons and Ball Show. I'm John Lyons, battling a slight cold. We'll call it the Jordan flu game of my WEEI career. It's the same exact thing, right? And I'm alongside Dan Ball. Dan, how are you today?
Good afternoon, John. Pleasure to be with you, and I'll make sure to keep a safe distance.
Yeah,
we'll
be 6 feet away. Don't worry. Yeah, 6 feet away. Remember that? That was fun.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
Okay,
yeah, this isn't the Ken and Curtis show. I mean, yes, let's not. Yeah, 6 feet away. Yeah. Look, we've got a lot to get to today. We just heard Josh McDaniels. We're going to get to his hire. We're going to get to the rest of the Patriots coaching staff because this Terrell Williams hire, defensive coordinator, I think under the radar, Dan, there's a lot to like with that. We're going to talk about what's next for the Patriots from a coaching staff, but also roster side of things. We're going to talk about the Boston Bruins later on in the show. Obviously, they're in action right now against the Avalanche. We might sneak in some Red Sox. And of course, Dan, and I'm excited for this. We're going to have Justin Turpin, who covers the Celtics for WEEI.com, in studio at 4 o'clock for a couple segments. We're going to talk to, is there something wrong with the Celtics? Are they okay and it's just not that big a deal and it's January? We're going to get into all that. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be hard to tell from Terp, though, if he actually thinks something is wrong, because I'm not sure I've ever seen him without a smile on his face. So I don't know if he's going to have one painted on his face as he tells us, yeah, something's seriously wrong. Jaylen Brown is playing his way out of town, but we may not know it from the way he looks.
That's true. He's just like Heath Ledger in The Joker.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? He's just painted.
Okay, maybe not the comp I would have gone with, but he is a smiley guy.
Fair enough. So let's start with Josh McDaniels.
Okay.
And this has been, I think, Dan, kind of a polarizing thing around here, and I don't know why it's been polarizing. I'm a big supporter of this hire, but before we get into why I like this hire, tell me, you in or you out on the hiring of McDaniels?
I've convinced myself that I'm in, but I'm still a bit wary of it.
Okay.
In a vacuum as a play caller, and I think specifically as a quarterback developer, I like the direction that the Patriots went. And I also like, and this extends beyond McDaniels, I like that there's a certain continuity to the way that Mike Vrabel is putting together his staff, where take it to the quarterback's coach who was with him last year in Cleveland, your defensive coordinator who has a long resume of working with Vrabel and working well, and then McDaniels, who they obviously crossed paths with here in New England. There's guys that seem to have an understanding of how each other works. So in a vacuum with all that, John, I'm fine. The one thing, and I want to get your thoughts before we go too far into this, I do wonder what the perception of Josh McDaniels is as a leader of a position group and as a leader of the offense amongst other players in the NFL who haven't played for him before, because the most recent resume item is in Las Vegas. That did not go well. There were not a lot of, let's say, positive reviews from players who played under him in Las Vegas. And the Patriots have a roster problem. So before we go too far into that, the one thing that does concern me with the hire is how does that look as you turn it to the other 31 teams in the NFL as you're trying to build this roster up a bit more?
And you mentioned the quarterback coach hire. That's Ashton Grant, 28-year-old. Shout out to him.
I got two more years to get to the level of working in the NFL, apparently.
Yeah, I won't tell you how old I am because it just make me feel bad that you know this 28-year-old's a quarterback coach. But, yeah. By the way, played at Assumption University. Good for Ashton Grant.
Nice.
What I found interesting, though, about the Ashton Grant hire, traditionally, McDaniels has been the quarterback's coach in New England. All those years with Brady, the year with Mack, the only year I can think of that he wasn't the quarterback's coach and OC since he took over the offense was 2020 with Cam Newton. Right. And that was Jed Fish, who actually left late in the season to be the head coach of Arizona. So I think McDaniels kind of reassumed those duties later in the year. But other than that, he's always been the quarterback's coach. So I wonder, does Mike Vrabel or does McDaniels himself say, hey, I want to take more of a big picture view of the offense and development across position groups as opposed to just quarterbacks? And I got to tell you, from just the perspective of him running the offense, I'm a big supporter of this. Look, he was here for six Super Bowls. He has six Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
Three of them as the offensive coordinator, and that's great, right? But he ran the offense from 2005 to 2008, didn't get the OC title until 06, but he was running it in 05. And then again from 2012 to 2021, Dan, he had a top 10 points per game offense all those years except one. And it was the Cam Newton year was the only year it wasn't top 10.
Right.
We're talking top 10 with Matt Castle, top 10 with Mac Jones. And I'm not talking anything people haven't said before, haven't heard before. I want to go deeper than that, Dan, because it's not just, okay, they scored a bunch of points and that's great. It's they didn't really have negative plays. I mean, Greg Bedard had these stats. In 2021, the Patriots offense with Mac Jones, who we now look at and say, man, he was a bust.
Right.
The fourth fewest three and outs in the NFL.
Wow.
Like, they were 10th in the league on third down, 7th in the red zone, including the playoffs. Like, that's really good. That's not just, hey, we were top 10 in points, like, which is important. It's play-by-play basis, we were really good. We weren't making negative plays. They didn't turn the ball over a ton. Even with the rookie Mac Jones, didn't turn the ball over a ton. Brady obviously never turned the ball over. But I also like with McDaniels, and I want to get your thoughts on this. If you look at, because a lot of people say the McDaniels system is antiquated. I don't know how many of them could even draw you the McDaniels system. But,
right.
Look at the McDaniels Patriots system over 20 years. It changed a lot. Like look at the 06 offense, McDaniels' first official year as OC. Compared to the next year in 07 with Moss, Welker, they changed everything they did in a year.
Right.
And then he comes back in 2012, and you have Gronkowski and Hernandez, two tight ends. Obviously, Hernandez goes away.
Yeah.
But you still have Gronkowski. You bring in Amendola. You have this kind of middle-of-the-field type attack. It's attacking the seams constantly. You do that for a while. Then in 2018, you morph into this power running team. And oh, by the way, going deep in the playoffs with all those different variations of the offense. So I think this idea that his offense is antiquated or outdated or stagnant, I just don't think it lines up with his history here as an OC.
Well, I'm glad we came in with the clip that we did from the McDaniels, hello, nice to see you again, interview that he did with Patriots.com. The word of the day from that clip, John, was evolution. He said the word evolution multiple times when talking about how the offense for the Patriots under him in this third time around is supposed to go. And he also made a point to mention that he spent the last year, how did he say, this past year has given me the chance to consider all aspects of what this job entails. Yes, that's a bunch of word salad, but what I think he was trying to get to was, yes, I was not employed for this last year, but I didn't just sit on my couch and collect my paycheck, my very big paycheck from the Las Vegas Raiders. I learned what's made other teams successful, your McVay run offenses, your Shanahan's, the motion offenses across the league that seem to be having so much success. So at least from a frontward facing words that we're getting as fans perspective, he's saying the right things and seems to understand that there is a narrative out there that it's antiquated, and I need to make sure that I am modernizing my ways of coaching in order for this team to be successful. So Will that actually be true? Obviously, there's no way to know until we have a full sample size in 2025, but he seems to understand the work that needs to go in to be better this year.
Yes, and the all-caps texter from the 207 that says, how did McDaniels do in St. Louis with Sam Bradford?
Wow, say it with your chest.
Yes, I'm not sure if that person's aware that McDaniels had to use three different quarterbacks that year because of injury, including Sam Bradford, had the 28th ranked offensive line by PFF that used 11 different offensive lineman. So
you came ready for war.
Yeah,
this one.
Texter is right that was a bad offense, but
yeah.
He had almost nothing to work with. They had one good wide receiver. It was Brandon Lloyd, who, by the way, came here the next year, had a great year in New England, but only stayed 1 year,
right.
Then had a huge role in the Dynasty documentary. I'm not really sure. He was pretty good in that documentary.
Sure.
Dude, you're here 1 year. Yeah. I don't know. But look,
the producer heard something.
The St. Louis year, That was not a good offense. But I think if you look at the context of it, three different starting quarterbacks, 11 different offensive linemen used. Yes, you had prime Steven Jackson, who had 1,100 yards rushing that year. You only really had one weapon in the passing game. So that wasn't a good team to work with. I know Bradford
right.
had been good as a rookie. I get it, but you didn't have a full year of Bradford. So I think if you look at the context, could they have been better? I'm not disputing that. But to act like, oh, he was terrible that year because he wasn't in New England, I think leaves out some of the facts.
I will say that year should be a cautionary tale for Patriots fans in a certain sense of the term. And it goes back to the original point that I was making. Yes, you have
Kellen Clemens started three games for
Wow. Man, that's my favorite segment on Jones and Keefe is name the random athlete or name the random baseball player, just to go, God, I haven't thought about that name in 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever else. But anyways, I digress. The one thing that does concern me as we stand here right now, and this should be solved, and I know later on in the show we're going to kind of go through the to-do list of the draft and free agency and trades and all that. You've solved the quarterback position. That's no secret. Is there anything else in this offense as Josh McDaniels joins this team that you go, all right, there's a building block with which Josh can work?
Well, and this is an interesting thing because is McDaniels going to run a newer, modified-ish version of that Earnhardt Perkins Patriots offense system that he ran after Charlie Weiss? Or is he going to run something a lot closer to what Alex Van Pelt ran?
Right.
Maybe with his own terminology, but with what Alex Van Pelt ran. Because I will say, in Van Pelt's defense, bad offense, I didn't think he was that good, did a good job with Drake May and Joe Milton.
Yeah,
like that
yeah.
development was legit. So you look at May, and that's a building block. And the reason I bring that up is, if he runs kind of a newer version of that Patriots traditional offense, maybe all of a sudden Mike Onwenu and Sidy Sow are building blocks on your offensive line. Because Onwenu had a lot of success in that offense.
Yeah.
Sidy Sow played a lot in that style of offense and didn't play this past year. So maybe that Cole Strange, I don't know. Because Cole Strange is probably what you would think of as undersized for a McDaniels offense, but he moves really well. He's a great athlete. They love pulling guards. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's interesting. Like Hunter Henry will be a decent sized piece of it. I think a guy, though, that's really going to stand out, because I can't talk about offensive line too long or else Ken will come in here and tell me to leave, is DeMario Douglas. I think that slot role,
yeah,
because you look at under Bill O'Brien as a rookie in that Patriots, you know, traditional offense, I think he had 43 catches, which was like third most ever for a Patriots rookie. Last year, didn't have as big an impact. Obviously, they're a bad team both years. I could see him not being Julian Edelman, not being Wes Welker, but having a really big impact in playing that role
right.
at a pretty high level. So Douglas is the guy that I look at. I know Kendrick Bourne
yeah.
had his best season of his career under McDaniels, but he is, you know, a few years older now coming off the injury.
Specific to Pop, too, he's such a great athlete that I think there's a lot of what he brings as a wide receiver that you can really use well in a modern-day NFL offense when it comes to pre-snap motion, when it comes to moving guys around and trying to confuse your defenses and get guys open as much as possible. I feel like, to your point, he brings a lot of what you could build as long as he can think the game at a level
that
matches what Josh
McDaniels
is calling.
Year with
calling.
Bill O'Brien helps. And
yeah,
there's a texter with an interesting question from the 413. Polk and Baker had trouble with AVP system. Could they have trouble with McDaniels? And I think that's a fair question. Young receivers have had an issue here. You wonder if that's more a scouting department thing now that it's happened under Belichick and Mayo, you know, and
yeah.
the Wolf thing, and now I don't know. But I also think, and not to dump on people that aren't here anymore, you look at some of the Patriots position coaches from last year, inexperienced guys, new guys in their roles. I expect a staff with McDaniels at the helm. And even the quarterback coach, I know he's 28 years old, but he's been a quarterback's coach before. He's been around. He's a thought of as a quote-unquote rising star. I think you're going to get better position coaching than you did a year ago, and I think that could help. And I also wonder if McDaniels not being the quarterback's coach helps with maybe some of that receiver development, that O-line development, because he has that, at least that one little piece of it off his plate and on someone else's plate.
I perceive the, because you brought that up a few moments ago with the fact that they have a new quarterback's coach. I don't know if this is oversimplifying that decision, but your quarterback was Tom Brady. And clearly there was a great connection between McDaniels and Brady to the point where it really does kind of make that coach redundant. I not only believe that to be the case beforehand, but I also think that adding an extra coach in, a younger coach, a guy that's been in NFL, because he spent the last 5 years in Cleveland, I think is where
at least the last
was.
Off the top of my head. Yeah, he was the last 5 years in Cleveland. Before that, I think he was a college coach.
Right.
So he's been around. But I think to your point.
Good experience, younger guy.
Yeah, and to your point, I think McDaniels is your OC. So you want mostly McDaniels-type guys as assistant coaches under him, but I think it benefits to have one or two guys that are different, new, fresh, something from the outside, just different perspectives that, and look, I'm sure, you know, Ashton Grant can learn the McDaniels system and will do a good job as the quarterback's coach, but he also brings a slightly different perspective, and he worked with Vrabel last year, so Vrabel knows he's legit. Like, I think that can be beneficial, much like Terrell Williams is a guy that worked with Vrabel. Right, you have Mike Vrabel here, but maybe they keep Mike Pellegrino at corners coach, a guy that's been here. Just some, you know, one or two guys that are different or from a different staff can help. You don't want a bunch of new guys, like, because then you have what happened with Bill O'Brien 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Where, excuse me, it was Bill O'Brien, Will Lawing.
Flu game catching
up.
Yeah, I know.
Bill O'Brien, Will Lawing, and then a bunch of other guys that Bill O'Brien didn't pick.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I mean, hell, that happened last year. That happened last year where you had a bunch of either inexperienced rookies or just spare parts that were
guys
put together on the fly.
Guys that hadn't worked with Van Pelt before.
Yeah.
Right.
And look what happened there.
Yeah, not so great. So we'll got a lot more of this to get into. 617-779-7937. Join us on the phones or the text line. We're going to continue talking about the Patriots coaching staff. Coming up next, we're going to get to what's next on their to-do list a little bit later this hour. But before we do any of that, it is time to trend with the second best JB in Boston, Joe.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Braverman. That was Greg Bedard talking earlier this week. I'm John Lyons alongside Dan Ball, Joe Braverman behind the glass. And that's an interesting point, Dan, that we talked about this a little bit in the first segment, how the 06 offense was so different than the 07 offense, which was different than the 2012 and 2014 offenses, which was different than the 2018 offense. I mean, you can keep going with it.
Yeah.
Even in 2020, and this was a stat from Doug Kide this week of the Boston Herald, in 2020, the Patriots ran the fourth most play-action passes in the NFL.
Right.
Or their play-action rate was fourth. Like, that matters.
Yeah.
Like, so it shows to me that he's going to be able to adapt things. Like, you never ran read option with Tom Brady, because why would you?
Right.
But you ran it with Cam Newton.
Sure.
Right? Like,
take advantage of the talent around you.
Julian Edelman was a college quarterback who kind of had a special teams and bit offensive role when Bill O'Brien was here. And McDaniels comes in and the guy's a Super Bowl MVP within 4 years of becoming a star, 5 years of becoming a starter. So I think McDaniels' ability to adapt is going to be important, because if you look at Drake May, I would argue he might be the second-best quarterback McDaniels has ever worked with already. And if you look at his career, like, Matt Cassel had not taken a meaningful snap since high school. McDaniels got him to a guy that could win 11 games
right
in 2008, and then went to the Chiefs and had a couple decent years. You look at a guy like Jimmy G. I would argue the best football Jimmy G played in his whole career was the first six quarters of the 2016 season in New England. The game in Arizona, the Patriots won, and those first two quarters against Miami in week 2, where he threw 3 touchdown passes.
I think that's fair, because the reality of what Jimmy G wasn't realized until he was out of McDaniels' system. That's how you got good value in a trade for him.
And then you look at Jacoby Brissett. You won a game with him right after Garoppolo got hurt, running a totally different offense. Another rookie, by the way. And then Cam Newton, that was different. Mac Jones was a little bit different than what Brady and Newton had done. And then I look at Drake May, and I'm like, well, Cam Newton had been a league MVP, but by the time he was here, after week 2, he couldn't throw anymore.
Right.
Mac Jones was never that good. I mean, he was all right that first year, but he was never, like, a great player.
Do you remember the videos from 2020 training camp with Mac throwing and then what Cam's balls were looking like?
Oh, 21, yes.
21 camp,
it was jarring, the difference.
It was, yeah.
And then you look at Jimmy G, you look at Jacoby, like, solid NFL starters. Jimmy G got to a Super Bowl, but I look at Drake May and say, he's more talented than all those guys.
Right.
And I look at, even if you want to go back to Matt Cassel, Drake May's more talented than. So he's walking into a situation where he's probably going to be working with the second best quarterback he's ever worked with already. And I have faith in him to develop that guy. And that's the huge piece of this. Like, the biggest argument for keeping Van Pelt, Dan, was that he developed Drake May and Joe Milton really well.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a huge, huge piece of McDaniels' job.
I was a little surprised that Van Pelt wasn't retained in a lesser role for what I think
he
was,
would have accepted that, though?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, because I agree with you. I would have, in an ideal, you know, rainbows and candy world,
yeah,
I would have loved to have seen McDaniels OC, AVP quarterbacks coach.
Because when the argument of, well, this is being done for the sake of continuity for the players, when that argument was made for Gerard Mayo, it was anything but airtight. It was Swiss cheese levels of holes that you could poke in it. But with Alex Van Pelt, taking away the responsibilities of the rest of the offense and allowing the language to stay the same between the coach and the quarterback, I think there's a lot of value in that. But to your point, A, would he have taken that? I don't know. And B, would Josh McDaniels have wanted that? It's pretty telling that the quarterback coach is a 28-year-old that worked with Vrabel and comparatively does not have the same level of experience compared to AVP.
Worked with Van Pelt, too.
Right.
You think of it in Cleveland. So
that's true. That's a good point.
You know, maybe there's something there that McDaniels does like. He just didn't want to keep Van Pelt around.
Right, right.
That's Paul. Or maybe Van Pelt looks at it and says, hey, I developed a young quarterback, and then I also developed another young quarterback here. Somebody around the league will want me for a larger role than just quarterbacks coach, so I'll do that somewhere. And, and maybe that's what he's thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think there's something to that. I think you could argue that it could have been worse. Out of the two sides of the football with the two coordinators that you brought in, it was, this is not a great compliment, but it was less worse on offense under Van Pelt than the Mayo and Covington-led defense. When you look at
I think the skill that you had. Best job three?
And it goes to your point of, well, then maybe somebody will take a look at that and go, all right, let's give him a shot to actually call plays and try to build our offense.
And I think, and not to go down the whole Van Pelt rabbit hole, but you look at it 2 years ago, he wins games with five different quarterbacks in Cleveland.
Right.
Comes here. The only good thing about the Patriots season last year was the development of the quarterbacks, really, especially on offense, and he was responsible for that. So. Right. If I'm him, maybe I look around and say, yeah, I'll go somewhere else and be, even if it's an assistant head coach and quarterbacks coach. Like, he wasn't going to be that here. But back to McDaniels, like you mentioned, he used that word evolve and evolution or whatever it was in his little statement. Greg Bedard just talked about it in the cut we played. That's going to be a big piece of this, right? Because you want to evolve the offense. You don't want to go too far and try to overhaul what worked completely. But I think there's tweaks to it that McDaniels over the last year, maybe more motions, things like that. Sure. And I think he'll do more bootlegs with Drake. Like, you're not going to run bootleg with Tom Brady.
No.
Like, in read option, like I said before, you're not going to run that with Tom Brady. But with Drake May, you could run those things. And maybe not all the time, but sometimes you could run those things. And I think, again, McDaniels showed that with Cam Newton. He showed it a little bit with Mac Jones. And I think that's what people should look at. Yeah, okay, he won six Super Bowl rings here. He was with Brady. And that's great. And I look at that stuff too, like in the adaptations and the game plans. I mean, just look at the difference in the game plans from the AFC Championship game in 2014 against the Colts to 2 weeks later against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Did a lot of different stuff in back-to-back games. So that matters. But I think what matters more is you look at Drake May's skill set, it's probably closer to a Cam Newton, Mac Jones than it is to Brady. And I'm not saying he's that talent level. I think he's much more talented than Mac Jones, but just, he's going to move around a little bit more than Brady ever was. So you're not going to call it exactly the same way. And I have faith that McDaniels can do that, because you look around at the offensive coordinators that the Patriots could have hired. I don't know. Is there anyone else that you would have more faith in to call an offense, build an offense, game plan week to week, and develop the quarterback than Josh McDaniels? I don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Is there anybody that you would have more faith in than him to do that?
It wasn't a great crop of offensive coordinator candidates this year. It wasn't. I would have talked to Nick Caley.
I probably would have talked to Nick Caley, too.
I would have been curious, being a
pass. But even him, never developed quarterbacks before.
Right.
He never called plays before.
He was a passing game coordinator this year with the Rams, and learning from McVay over the last couple of years is a big thing. But again, relative lack of experience.
I would have talked to him.
I would have talked to him as well. But also, this one was done and dusted days, if not weeks, before it actually got announced.
Yeah.
They followed the exact same pattern of your two Rooney Rule interviews, one other candidate, and then your previously been with the Patriots coach. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I wanted to preface that by saying that. It wasn't a great crop. So the only real legitimate answer I would have to your question is hiring Ben Johnson instead of Mike Vrabel.
And I think that's the fair point, right? So, like, if you hire Ben Johnson, it's a different offensive system, but it's a guy that has worked well with quarterbacks, has called a great offense, has adapted his offense week to week. And I give Ben Johnson credit for that. But then you're hiring another first-time head coach who's not run a whole thing. And also, and this is not to fully knock Ben Johnson, but I think it's fair for context, he had the best offensive line in the NFL. Maybe the best duo of running backs. Now, I know Saquon Barkley's the best running, but the best duo with Gibbs and Montgomery.
Yeah.
You had one of the better young tight ends in the league. You had a really good receiver. So you don't have any of that to work with in New England. You might have a better quarterback, but that other stuff you don't have.
Right.
So McDaniels has at least shown where, like in 2021, Mac Jones, an inferior quarterback. What was he, runner-up to Rookie of the Year and Rookie of the Year voting? Like, McDaniels has shown, like Matt Castle, he can at least uplift offenses that either have some sort of void or some voids of talent. Here, even the 2019 team, and I know you had Brady, but Gronk was gone then. Edelman was a little older.
Yeah.
James White you had, who was still good, but Sony Michel wasn't as good anymore that second year. So he still got that offense to be pretty good as well.
He did.
So I think, again, I think this thought of, oh, he can't adapt or his system's antiquated, I just think that doesn't line up with what his career has been.
He made everything behind Julian Edelman that year. Philip Dorsett, 23-year-old Jacoby Myers, Josh Gordon for six games.
Yep.
Pretty good six
Antonio
games.
Brown for one.
Oh, yeah.
They won 43-0 in Miami. That Antonio Brown. If that dude wasn't nuts,
yeah,
that team might have gone to the Super Bowl. Side note, but...
Can I add a side note to that side note? So I came from Albany, as you know. Antonio Brown's most recent venture, other than his CTE ESPN on social media, was the owner of the Albany Empire Indoor Football League team.
Yes, I heard that was hit or miss.
That, well, I don't know what hits you saw, because it was miss after miss.
It was all miss.
It was a miss in a busy year for the Albany Area Police Department, is what it was.
Okay.
Oh, he got himself in trouble at hotels, got himself kicked out, didn't pay players. Anyways... To prove the point that he's nuts.
People
he's still nuts.
Him. Yeah, she loved me.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
That's just, again, that's my thing. I think it's a great hire.
Yeah.
I think it's not just, oh, the Super Bowls and all that. Look at how he's developed quarterbacks. Look at how he's adapted his scheme. Look at how week in and week out they've been highly competitive on offense. And just look at the lack of negative plays. And that's something that people don't appreciate enough. But when you don't have negative plays... It's a huge step towards just having a good offense. And I know that sounds obvious.
Yeah.
But think of the last 2 years and all the negative plays the Patriots had on offense, whether it was Mack and Zappe turning the ball over left and right a couple of years ago, or the offensive line being incapable of blocking this past year, or receivers dropping passes or running wrong routes. Just eliminate a lot of those negative plays.
Yeah.
You probably win two more games this year.
It's unfortunate for the fans, but it's really fortunate for where we are right now. The bar is low for where you need
about
to be.
As low as it can get.
It is.
All right. So that's McDaniels. And if you want to call in and weigh in on Josh McDaniels, I know it's been talked about a lot this week, but I'm a big supporter of it. 617-779-7937. We also have the text line buzzing as well. Same number. McDaniels was not the only major hire, Dan, that the Patriots made this week. Terrell Williams is defensive coordinator. Now that, look. A defensive coordinator hire is never going to get as much publicity as an offensive coordinator hire.
Right.
People just don't care about defense as much. And he's a guy that maybe a lot of Patriots fans don't know who he is because he was a position coach with another team. I think under the radar, this is a really interesting hire, and I think it has the potential to be a really good one as well.
Okay. Now, so, what makes you say that?
So, for me, defensive line coach and run game coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what he was with the Lions. And
sure.
He also spent... six seasons with Vrabel as a defensive line coach. What unit really regressed on the Patriots defense last year? The defensive line.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the only one. Safeties weren't so good either. Linebackers also weren't so good.
Yeah.
But the defensive
anybody
line,
not named Christian Gonzalez for the most part.
Yeah, that's fine. I won't argue that. But that unit, I thought, really regressed last year.
Sure.
And if you look at some of the guys they have, and Terrell Williams talked about wanting violent players that play with that edge, that get after it. To me, without saying the name, he's talking about Keon White.
Yeah.
Like, to me, you put Keon White with his hand in the ground on the edge, I think Terrell Williams is going to get him to play at a really high level. And you look at some of the defensive linemen that Terrell Williams got to play at a high level and help make into stars, Jeffrey Simmons in Tennessee, Aiden Hutchinson, right? Like, these are really good. And the guy, I forget his name, in the middle of the Detroit defense, I think it's Akeem Mitchell or Aleem Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
Really good player in the middle of that Detroit defense. That's a guy reminds me of Christian Barmore,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have Anthony Jennings, who, and no one cares about setting the edge in the run game, so I won't spend any more time on that. He generally has been really good on that, really good at that, was inconsistent this past year. I think Terrell Williams helps him get more consistent at that. So they still need an edge player.
Right.
We can still talk later about whether you want to draft Abdul Carter or not, but I think Terrell Williams immediately is going to come in, and their defensive line is going to be better. And that's something Mike Vrabel talked about when he got hired. He wanted to be good in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And I think Terrell Williams comes in. I mean, in all his years, from 2018 to 2023 in Tennessee, they were fourth fewest rushing yards allowed in that span. Number one in the league rush defense in 2022. Your defensive line, in my opinion, immediately is going to get better with Terrell Williams.
Well, to your point about building in the trenches, that's often an identity of the teams that you see go the furthest, your championship level teams.
Look at it this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Eagles, probably the second best offensive line of football behind right. Detroit. Washington's is a lot better than it was a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
The Bills is pretty good.
It's pretty good, but it's healthy. That's the thing.
And the Chiefs is awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the ability to keep your quarterback upright on the offensive side of the ball, obviously very important. And conversely, there are a lot of teams, and you've seen the same schedule of opponents that the Patriots have. Patriots have a couple, or have a pretty good chance to win a lot of games against teams that don't have a great offensive front, defensive front. So I'm going to, after saying that, I want to turn a question back on you because I know that this is more your area of expertise than mine.
You mean fat guys pushing each other around in
absolutely.
The football field?
Yes. I look at you
right
and
up my alley.
Fat
yes.
guys pushing each
big
other around.
Big O-line guy.
Absolutely.
I really am.
So based on the current construction, the personnel that the Patriots have currently available to them on defense, ignoring what free agency in the draft is going to be, what should the Patriots' defensive identity be based on who they have available?
Yeah, so I think with Terrell Williams, and this is also a Mike Vrabel thing, I bet you they're going to attack a lot more than they have at other points. And look, last year I think DeMarcus Covington fell into the trap where he started blitzing all the time to create pressure, and part of that was I just thought the defensive scheme was a little off, guys weren't winning one-on-one matchups. I think you're going to see them be more aggressive, but in a smart way, which I know sounds a little contradictory, but
yeah.
Their defensive linemen, whether it's Keon White, Barmore, Jennings, whoever, those specific guys are going to be more aggressive.
Okay.
And I think you're going to see them attack more. A lot of four-man fronts. I think you're going to see more one-high safety stuff, which, again, more guys in the box. A lot of that depends on who you have at free safety. I mean, the Patriots sure. used to have Devin McCourty. The Titans had, Kevin Byard. Like, it depends on who you have at safety. Like Kyle Duggar, I know reports are this week that he had to have surgery, so maybe he'll be better next year, but he was not good this year. So.
Yeah, I think PFF ranked him last.
Yeah, he was down low. Yeah. And obviously Peppers, I know he got acquitted yesterday,
yep.
but still missed all that time. Right? Right. Things never fit in. So I think they're going to be more, I don't know if they're going to blitz more, but I think on an individual guy-to-guy basis are going to be more aggressive. And Dan Campbell, I think it was 2 years ago at the Combine, called Terrell Williams the best defensive line coach in the league.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an attacking defensive line. At least the four down linemen, I think, are going to attack quite a bit. And I think that might end up being a good thing because one of the issues they ran into last year, they couldn't create pressure without blitzing.
Right.
And then they would blitz and they would do it at inopportune times, like the cover zero blitz against the Rams in the third quarter that led to a 69-yard touchdown. I think they're going to blitz smarter. But I think they're not going to blitz as much because their defensive line is just going to play better.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. even the threat of blitzing, if you're showing blitz and then you don't end up doing it, I mean, that's a weapon in and of itself to have in your back pocket.
And I also like that Williams and Vrabel worked together for 6 years.
Right,
like,
right.
That matters. That's continuity.
And that's littered over the coaching staff right now to this point. If you talk about the status of the coaching staff year to year, there are guys that know each other all under the Vrabel tree in one way or another, which I think the continuity aspect was something that maybe wasn't talked about as much, but was definitely, definitely missing in the way that it just seemed disjointed from start to finish last year.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. Let's take one call before we go to break here. George in the car wants to talk Patriots. George, welcome into the program.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Awesome. Hey, so, talking about Vrabel trying to really win in the trenches, right? And you look at our offensive line right now is kind of in shambles. So what I'm kind of interested in is looking at, you know, what the opportunities are for the Patriots on the offensive line, you know, either via through trade or draft, or, you know, what are your thoughts about our offensive line next year?
George, thanks for the call, and a man after my own heart. Talking offense, calling in, talking offensive line. Very polite guy, too. He said, they're kind of in a shambles.
Yeah, like, yeah.
A lot of people would use different adjectives there, right, George? But thanks for the call. Look, I look at this, and there's a lot of people out there, Dan, who they want to help the offensive line until it's actually time to help the offensive line, and then they want to draft Travis Hunter, and they just want to sign T. Higgins, and you're fine. And I'm not saying not to sign T. Higgins.
Right.
I look at this offensive line. I think you need three new starters. And I think Mike Onwenu will be a good starter.
Sure.
I think David Andrews will come back. And the combination of him and Cole Strange, because I don't know what Andrews' health will be, you'll get decent play at center. But I think you need a new left tackle for sure, a new right tackle, and probably a new left guard, depending on what happens with Cole Strange. Now, I think in McDaniel's offense, City So might be able to be that left guard. I'd still love for them to go out and sign Trey Smith and organize the offensive line from there.
Right.
Right tackle maybe could be Caden Wallace. I didn't see enough last year.
No.
And left tackle, you do not have that on your roster. So I think what they need to do is bring in at least two new starters. So I want them to either sign or in the top 10 draft a left tackle and sign one other higher end offensive lineman. Whether that's Trey Smith at guard, or maybe you sign Ronnie Stanley to play left tackle and you sign Trey Smith too, or you sign Stanley, draft another tackle even in the first two rounds, fine with me, or whatever. But I think they should go into training camp next year with at least two new starters, if not three. Like, I look at David Andrews and Mike Onwenu. To me, they're starters next year.
Right.
Beyond that, could Cole Strange have a role? Could City So have a role? It's possible. I don't know. Could Caden Wallace have a role? I mean, 2,300 snaps at Penn State as a right tackle. Didn't really see a lot of it. I know some of it was injury this year. Nobody at left tackle, as I mentioned. So I want at least two new starters on this O-line in August, if not three.
Well, I mean, even say you're going to give Caden Wallace a chance to compete at camp at that position.
And I'm open to that.
You have to have an insurance policy
in order to do that. It's not Chuck Sikora for.
No, exactly. If it's a one-year deal, fine. If it's a veteran, and I don't have one offhand that I can give you, but it's...
No, but
it's,
I get your point. Yeah.
It's somebody who, if Wallace doesn't... You have to give him the chance to fail or succeed. I know that there's a chance that could actually happen in this new offense. But if it doesn't work, yes, you can't fall back on either another rookie or somebody who's going to put you right back in the same spot. So there are ways with nuance that you can build up the depth of this offensive line, because there's no way you're going to keep the same group healthy for 17 games. You need to build the depth, and I think there are multiple different ways, to your point, that you can do that.
We've got a 978 texter asking about what to do next with the Patriots, and good timing on that text, because coming up right after the break, that's exactly what we're going to talk about, Dan. What are the next steps for the Patriots? They have their OC, they have their DC, they have their head coach and special teams coordinator. Where do they go from here? We'll talk about that on Boston Sports Original WEEI coming up next. Back here on Lions and Ball. Ball and Lions. Whatever you want to call it. Joe Braverman and friends, even, if you want to call it that. Joe Braverman, how are you, by the way?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Joe, you barely talked all show.
It's been a long...
Yeah,
I mean, we kicked off the Christian Arcand show. Dan obviously kicked off the brand new afternoon show. So I'm ready for Championship Sunday.
Yeah, you're ready for bed, basically.
Pretty much. Right.
So he's Joe Braverman.
Yeah, you see, Joe and I, we planned our shirts accordingly. We both have our EEI,
and even we all have the same color. It's not weird at all.
Right?
Not at all.
No.
I mean, we will go behind the glass. Everyone got sort of a different variation of the shirt, but
okay.
You and I got the same logo, obviously, and it's coincidence that we both have it on.
That's right. On Boston Sports Original is what it says under the logo.
An original shirt.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about this later in the show, but I want to talk about it now because we did get the text from the 978 from the king himself, Scotty G. That's how he referred to himself in the text.
Well, I mean, he led the text with great show, John.
Of course.
We got to read that one
out. Of course, Scotty G, a legend in a legend.
Sure.
So he does say, at four, O-line, wide receiver, free agency. So this is my philosophy, Dan, and we got 4 months to talk about this. I think the Patriots, and even based off that cut we just played from Schefter, you got to be in the trade down market if you're the – but you got to stay in the top 10. Because I think you trade down and you stay in the top 10, you can get Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks, a franchise left tackle. And when I say either or, whichever one their scouts or Mike Vrabel thinks is better, I'll defer to them. But you can get one of those guys. If you go down any further, you could probably get Josh Simmons at left tackle. And I'm not against that, but I'd rather get one of the top two guys. I'm out on receiver at four. And I know it's a huge need. I get it. But you took two receivers last year. Both had bad rookie seasons. I think they can both be better this year with better coaching and Mays another year in. But still kind of dubious on those guys. I don't want to spend another premium pick on a receiver when, A, you can bring in veteran receivers via free agency. B, you can bring them in via trade, despite what DK Metcalf said about New England. Bring him in anyway.
Yeah.
But you can also get a good receiver in the second or third round to complement what you have. I just think offensive line is so much more important of a need right now than receiver. And I'm not saying receiver isn't a need. It's probably your second most important need. But Drake May will get killed if you don't invest more in this offense. I mean, look at what happened in the first 6 weeks with Jacoby Brissett last year. I mean, he was getting lit up play after play after play.
And that
was
the argument that was being used for why you didn't play Drake May off the first week. Well, you're going to get him killed out there.
My argument.
And it's a good argument. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And that's why, to me, I think you have to be trade down, acquire some more assets, stay in the top 10, and get an offensive tackle there. And if you put a gun to my head and said you have to stay at four and pick somebody, I'm still taking an offensive lineman there over Abdul Carter. And I love Abdul Carter could be an elite player. If you pick a guy at fourth overall and he stinks, that's not about Abdul Carter. That's about you.
Right.
So you should be able to pick an offensive lineman at fourth overall or at eighth overall, and he'll be a really good player. Because if he's not, that's just more about you and your scouting department than it is Tet McMillan or Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
So the only caveat I'll say, Dan, and we can get into this at the top of the next hour, it does depend on what they do in free agency. So I want to take, in the next hour, coming up after this break, we are going to talk about some other teams in town, I promise. But I want to take a look at what the Patriots could do in free agency, draft, the rest of their coaching staff, kind of what are the next steps here? Because you have a lot in place, and there is optimism, but what are the next steps in this build? Because you sure as hell don't want to go 4-13 for the third year in a row. So what are the next steps here? He's Dan Ball. I'm John Lyons. We're going to get into all that coming up next here on WEEI.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.